It's the Daily Talk Show episode. Oh, I just turned up my mic a little bit there.
The one time Josh will want to redo the intro, which happens rarely because he always pushes back on me doing it, is the one time you had your volume right down. Do you want to do it again?
No, I'm fine with that.
You sure?
It's episode 314.
And it's Fat Fridays. What's going on, Derek?
Scooter, Derek.
I'm starving and I just want to say a great big thank you to you guys for bringing me a sandwich.
Well, I specifically told you that we were going to eat.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's Fat Friday, so that has to happen.
But he accidentally ate a curry, he said, before he came.
Look, all right, my wife and I have a thing it's called a dignity burger, right? So if you're going to a wedding and you think it's going to be some hoity-toity affair where you're going to get, you know, when you chase down the guy with a plate.
Yeah, he's got the aranchi balls.
So we have a burger on the way to the wedding so that we have some level of dignity.
Yeah.
Right? So I thought, well, what I'll do is at 12 o'clock I'll nip out between recordings.
Yes.
And I'll nip out and get a snack.
A curry isn't a snack.
Well, I forgot, didn't I? I just stood there and I saw this curry and I just went,
what, out of the Bay Marie, you're just like, that's me?
Yeah, so I smashed the curry in about 5 minutes.
I will say, I felt slightly insecure early in the week. We did a live show with Craig Harper and a lovely lady was there who said, oh, I listened to the show. I thought everyone was there for Craig. Turned out some people actually listened to us. And she said, because I yelled out to Josh, she listens. And then she says, yeah. I said, what do you like? She says, you talk a lot about food. And I think she's fallen on Fat Friday episodes where we're just knee deep in the food banter, which will be no different today. What we got in front of us is – actually, hang on. I just need a
– what are you doing?
He's just the measuring tape.
Where are we?
So I just
Can I guess how long it is?
Yeah, sure. Mm. I mean, you and I have played that game before.
It's 2 foot. And we know who won. 2 foot.
Well, that's 8 inches.
It's two foot
sandwich. Scooter, Derek.
That's beautiful. And
what do you think it is? What's the game now, mate?
It's lovely. I just feel a bit embarrassed. Are you having one as well?
What do you think lengthwise?
Lengthwise. Okay.
Wait. He'll get it. He's the most handy guy in this room.
In this room, it's not saying
I'm just going to say just under 2 foot. I'm going to say 22 inches.
22 inches. So we've gone 2 foot and 22 inches.
Why are we doing it all in feet? We should have.
Yeah. I reckon inch-wise.
Got inches on the thing.
24 inches.
So if we're talking centimetres, can we do centimetres just as a final thing? It's 70 centimetres.
I reckon 62. What do you reckon, Des?
Yeah, well, 22 inches.
Which is what?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, we're saying centimetres.
25.4 times.
Okay.
Hey, mate, Siri.
Times 22.
Here we go. This is gone.
How many centimetres in 22 inches?
Okay.
22 inches is 55.88.
Oh, Derek was the closest. It's 52 centimetres long.
So you get to eat the whole thing.
You get it all.
That works.
I'll take that.
So what's inside, TJ?
This is a Reuben sandwich, one of your favourite, Josh, from Casati's. Just had Nikki whip it up for me. They don't usually sell them this long. They're usually in some nicer bread. So I ended up going to Coles and getting this loaf. This, what do you call it? Like a rustic bread stick.
Can we start eating it now?
I know. You get this thing about you, Josh, when you get like you're beyond hungry and you actually lose your marbles a bit. Mm. You just start looking around.
Well, I purposefully didn't eat. Well, how are we going to cut? Is that my piece? Is that too big?
Yeah, so hold that end for you. Derek, you hold the middle bit. Mm-hmm. You hold that. And so then I can hold this because that will be partly mine. I'll give Mr. 97 a bite.
Come on,
a bit
of elbow grease there, mate.
I was going to say Mr. Derek. Scooter Derek.
Oh.
You are a guy who has a story on everything in the nicest possible way. Not like the guy who's got an annoying story on everything.
A bit
who talks
like that.
No. Josh and I find you intriguing. Just that
interesting.
Intriguing, interesting. The amount of rebrands you've done across your life. I dare say you look the same. You've done the rebrand in terms of career and what your sort of hobbies are, shit like that. But I thought, so I was at the supermarket before and I was like, I want to find something and just show it to you to see if you have a story on it. And then I was like, I need an obscure item from the supermarket. So I went and asked the lady where this specific item is and she cringed as I said it. And so I'll show you what that item is. Hang on a
second. I didn't even know they sold those at supermarkets.
Swedgies.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
All right. So right here is a can of Spam.
Oh, Spam.
Spam.
Have you ever? What is? Yeah. What was? Were you? It sounded like you were quoting then, a film.
Yeah. It was a reference to Monty Python. Okay. A skit.
And so, do you have any Spam stories?
I've got a look. Can I just start with one thing?
Can I just guess?
Sorry.
I was just going to guess that you fucking love it.
I love Spam. Right? Spam is like a bum bag, or you call it a fanny. Call it a fanny pack. You're there, it makes sense. It's great, but you just everyone's just too embarrassed to use it.
So
it's revolting as a notion. I don't know. Stuff.
And what does it taste like? I'm not
spiced
tasting
ham, right? Spam, spiced ham.
Oh, is that what it stands for? Okay. Do you want me to read you the ingredients?
Is it okay that I'm getting stuff on the desk?
That's fine. So the ingredients are pork, 92%, water, salt, thickener, sugar, preservatives, colour, humectant, chemical 1520. I don't know what that is.
Delicious.
But is there anything, like, what, is there any stories that you have around Spam from your life? From your rebrands across your years.
I did. Once I had a combi. You know what a combi is?
Yeah.
Volkswagen bus. A camper that had a small can of Spam that just lived on the dash as a not opened, but it just lived there as a like a decoration instead of like a Wobblehead or an Elvis or something.
Yeah.
Just this can of Spam. A bit of a conversation starter, I suppose. And just letting people know I'm not a vegan hippie in a combi.
Well, it's got a brand. Like it's actually got quite sort of like a brand that sticks out. Don't you think? Like it's sort of old school cool.
It's like the pop art. It's like the Campbell's cans. Mr. 97, I wasn't sure what he meant by dripping. Can you run around the back and get some toilet paper for Josh over there? Because there is oil going all over the table.
You said it was fine.
I know I did because I thought it was just like you were dropping bits out of the sandwich. Didn't realise it was going to pour out water or whatever that is.
And when I start, it's going to be a lot worse.
So the word you're looking for is it's iconic. The branding of this is iconic. There's like a friend of mine makes it's like pottery, but it's like pop art pottery. It's like old Fanta bottles and things like that. And so he makes these out of, what do you call it? Clay, and then sort of paints them. And so they're like pieces of art. And so that's what you were doing. You were using it as a art installation.
Yeah, and people thought I was being ironic, but I do actually like it. I'm the only one in the world, I think.
Well, you can have that, mate, because there's not a chance. I'm not
going on my Vans dash.
Have we already asked Eric to list all of the
Who's Eric?
Derek. I had a moment. Derek. Have we asked Eric Jesus Christ.
Third time lucky.
I need to ask Scooter Derek. Scooter Derek.
Yeah.
I'm getting hot now. Scooter Derek.
Yeah.
Your jobs, the different jobs you've had over the years. Have we spoken about this?
You don't know them all.
Can you list them all, please? While I eat.
I'm trying to think of them.
Go back to the very beginning. What was your first ever job?
A trolley. We called them trolley pushers. Do you know what a trolley pusher is?
Yeah, like at the supermarket, they're collecting all the trolleys.
Yeah, yeah. In those days it was done by, a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And so there was a new shopping centre in Muralbach where I grew up.
That's such a good idea, by the way. Mr. 97's just brought plates. I didn't even think about that.
He's a thinker. A 94 would not have thought of that.
No.
Well, a 43 and a 0.
46.
Definitely didn't think of that.
Go on. Sorry, Derek. Thank you.
The
trolleys.
Mm-hmm.
I was a trolley boy. That's what we were called. So there was a large ramp and we had to go out into the world and get trolleys, pile them up. So we would collect all the trolleys and get them ready somewhere and then go and sort of crack on to the girls that worked in the chemist shop and stuff like that.
So who were you employed by?
Sometimes go and get UDLs from Coles and smash a few UDLs and then quickly run back and put the trolleys back in. Good job.
How were you paid? Do you remember? Just cash?
UDLs.
It was $2.60 an hour when I started.
Mm.
It's pretty good.
What year?
82, maybe 1982.
So Tommy and I announced yesterday that maybe we might be leaving Easy Street. I know. You're doing an angry face.
Yeah, I am.
You've got Castaway Studios up the road, up on Easy Street.
Mm.
What was easy? Who the fuck's phone keeps dinging, by the way?
It's yours, dude. So
is it my?
Be careful.
It's my. See, this is a problem. I've set up iMessage accidentally on my computer. And so now every fucking time I get a message, it dings and everything.
Mm. What's the drink?
What is it, TJ?
Have a sip. You know what it is.
Another secret mystery.
Well, I did think there's like a story out of this.
A pinky, fizzy sort of drink.
But we're weaving hard today. We've gone from his jobs, then to Easy Street, now back to a mystery drink. But what is it? You know what? No, I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay.
Scooter Derek.
It's got no real sugar in it, but it still tastes delicious.
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
Mystery. It must be.
I'm not getting any Nutrasweet kind of backbeat.
No.
It's kombucha.
It's got to be kombucha.
Yeah.
So did you know it was kombucha?
.com, I'm guessing it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's kombucha.
Yep.
So anyway, which one is – so you were going
– Easy Street.
We don't want to hear about his jobs. You're bored of them?
We went through the trolley one. His first
you wanted
ever.
A list of all of them.
I did want all of them.
Specifically, I want all your jobs.
Okay, point form. All right.
Okay, yeah, just quickly, because John, we're bored.
I was a trolley boy and then I worked in a nightclub when I was at uni.
Bouncing? What were we doing?
They called it that. They called it a glassy.
Okay, glassy, and then a
what
bussy.
What did they do?
So it was the biggest, newest disco, and in fact,
you got to tell Josh what actually happens at nightclubs
I'm not allowed to. What's this rated?
Unrated.
So this big fancy nightclub called Area, and it was in the 80s. So it was a massive $1 million put in.
Where was this?
In Croydon Hotel.
Oh yeah.
So Molly Meldrum, Shirley Strawn, all the DJs from LA, and it was just like huge. And the DJ booth went up and down on gas lifts for no reason, and it was just that cutting edge pastel craziness. And I popped in there and asked for a job, and they said, "Yeah, sure, come in and go to one of the motel rooms on Saturday night, 7 o'clock." So I went down there. But I don't know why, but I went there. All the staff there were dressed in really kooky shit. They had their hair sprayed with colour, fluoro colour hairspray.
Was that very 80s?
And they had like bow ties with coloured lights in them and kooky. It was just kooky, deliberately kooky. And they were all kooky, so it was obviously a thing.
Can you turn your mic down, please, Josh? It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
So I turned up dressed like a blues brother. So full suit.
Hang on, wait. Did you get the kooky memo or you just rocked up?
I said, "What do I wear?" And they said, "Just jeans and a t-shirt will be fine. Yeah. We'll take care of the rest." I'm going, "Oh, fuck." So I've gone along as a blues brother, full hat. I found some sunnies in my mum's drawer that were purple, but they were kind of right, and texted them black in the frame.
Yeah.
And I went along, tiny thin tie. Wasn't hard to find in those days. We all had them. And I went along and I just went deadpan. I said, "I was told to come here." And the girl was in there, the hairdressing girl, dressing all the staff up. And she turned and she said, "You're fine as you are." And I was like,
"Oh, great."
And they're all going, "Oh, you bastard." They hated on me because I got to be sort of cool.
Yeah.
And they had to be all fluorescent. And I used to go around busing though with the sunnies on, couldn't see shit.
So what the fuck is busing though?
So busing is the guy with the tray, drink tray, and it's like gronks like us have half finished a drink and he has to take it back to the cupboard.
97, what did you actually think busing was? When you heard them say busing, did you know what they were talking about?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
No
driving
idea.
A bus.
I thought it was you out the front like monitoring buses.
Conspiracy Jimmy used to be a bussy. He spent a bunch of time. He found so much stuff.
Oh, mate.
Like on the ground.
I found hundreds of bucks.
And hundreds of bickies.
Yeah. Well, bickies weren't around in my day.
What would you find then? What was the drug back then?
Cash.
That you found? Cash. Robbo. Yeah.
No one has cash anymore.
Broken glass fights. In those days they had, before they had controlled bouncers.
Yeah.
You had different group. They had that many bouncers in there.
It was.
What do you mean controlled bouncers? What does that mean?
You had to have a license and you had to do a course. And
so that registered. At the start it wasn't
It was just
like
free for all. So you had a group of kind of kickboxers and you had a group that were like Vietnam vets, like ex-soldiers. And you had a group that were just like super tough guys.
So just
and
like
they were
gangs.
Little groups, yeah, all working as bouncers.
Yes.
And if there's no trouble of a night, sometimes at the end when everyone's sitting down, they had primitive tap system, so they had to run off about 20 jugs to clean the taps.
Yeah.
So we all had to drink it all as much as possible. But these bouncers would start fighting each other, though.
Yeah.
So the bouncers were bigger issues than the actual
patients. Throw people through the windows. And yeah.
So
yeah.
It's nothing strange. You know who was a bouncer at a potential – it might have been a Ringwood nightclub? Craig Harper.
Really?
So when he in his day, he used to, you know, 110 kilos, solid. He used to work out one of those. Like there's those mega clubs
Juice nightclub, I bet you.
Somewhere out that way. But he's
had a – big gym, like World Gym opened up there. Or
really? Yeah. Any connection with a gym, it's probably him.
And so what other jobs?
So you've got your bussy, trolley guy, bussy.
All right, then I worked as a storeman in a tile shop for a little while. Then I can't remember what happened. I started working as barman when I was studying Geelong.
Yeah.
And then it sort of all dried. Oh, what did I do after that? Then I became what was known as a hall keeper. This is a fascinating job. It's like the lowest you can get in a local council.
Hall keeper.
So it's the guy who has to do everything that everyone goes, well, that's not my job kind of thing. You're like a caretaker, security.
Of a venue?
Chauffeur of the offices, of the main offices. Yeah.
Is it like a fixer?
Hundreds of people. And in those days, the offices, everyone smoked durries.
Yeah.
So you had an open plan office, enormous open plan office, that had 250, 300 people working in there in like in the movies, mm-hmm. in the newspaper office or whatever, all punching durries and ashtrays, and you'd cruise through and the whole place stunk and the
ceiling. Were you a smoker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't even notice.
When did you, because you don't smoke now, do you?
No.
What was the quitting date? When did you quit?
What was your last durry?
I don't know. I haven't got a date for it. It was.
Give us a year. Paint a picture.
I'm guessing possibly about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's not that long ago.
Well, maybe more. Maybe more.
Well, no, you can't just say more just because Tommy said it wasn't long ago.
It's a good response.
Actually, maybe it was 18 Damn. Years ago. What was the...
I was feeling a bit short of breath. I went to a doctor and it was this doctor in Smith Street, and she was a Sri Lankan woman, and she... And I said, oh, just like a short of breath. I think there's something wrong with me. Because I was just a boy back then. Yeah. I was probably not even 40. and she just went, oh, I want you to go up there to this place and do a test. And she just wrote down emphysema ? I fucking just wrote it down and slid it across the table. And I'm going, what? And I was like, I didn't even think about the emphysema for the moment. I just went straight to, what sort of shit is this?
That's
shit doctoring, man.
Yeah.
You just can't do that.
At least doctors
at least tell me what it even is and whether it's like a death
how bad
sentence
is
or
the,
something. I don't know anything about it.
Luckily, doctors have bad enough handwriting that you normally can't actually read what they're saying.
It was clear as day. I was like, oh.
And so you went shit. For the emphasis.
Yeah, I did. Test. Yeah, and it was okay, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so that was that the period of like
back I didn't then? Have a cigarette after that.
Really? No. That's all it took.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she was the best doctor that you could have possibly gone to see.
Technically, she saved my life with her brutality.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that hall manager job, or what was it called? A hall?
Hallkeeper's a funny hall-keeper. Job, yeah.
Are they still in existence?
Yeah, yeah. God, it's the person that runs the show at a council facility. Mm. So if you go to a hall or a community centre, there's a dude there who's let you in.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of...
The 21st
birthday.
It's
pretty easy when you're not. Well, it was like 19 or 20 or something like that, or 21.
Yeah.
So it was grouse.
Did you finish high school?
Yeah. Went to uni.
What was your – there was no ATAR back then. What was it, HSC?
I got 265.
Yeah, which is a number.
So
it's higher than 97, but it's
but
a
what
different
the fuck
metric.
Does it mean?
It's millimetres versus centimetres.
The big – a 97, the equivalent, the big gun like – you're a legend.
Yeah.
It was about 330 or something.
So
like
he
that.
Got a 320 essentially back in your day.
He probably got 340.
Okay.
And so what did you actually study in school?
Math, science, physics, chemistry.
Oh, sorry, in uni?
Same.
But wait, don't you do like a degree or something? Or no, how does uni
work? Yeah, it's a science degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the actual plan? Was that a dumb question on my behalf?
No, it was a great question. I'm just trying to avoid having to say I dropped out after a term.
No, everyone dropped out. 97. The smartest people in the room drop out on the first one. So you realised that it wasn't for you. Did you, like, was it free uni back then?
Yeah. But I was cut because I had to pay, I think it was $180 for the year union fees. I was like, this is ridiculous. Education's supposed to be free.
And so
that was it.
And so is it easy because you weren't paying, was it pretty easy to drop out?
It's always hard to drop out when you're part of that system where your parents come from working class, Glasgow Commission, and they do everything in their powers to get you to a private school, work their guts out and get you to a point where they think they – and then you go to uni, but you're part of that program, that sort of, I suppose, less informed program that doesn't really cover the arts and creativity. But it just keeps you going through maths and science, and then you get to uni, you term in and go, what the fuck?
Yeah, what's this for?
You've had such a good time after HSC that your brain can't even function anyway.
Yeah. So when did the entrepreneurial – you know, the business mind of you come to the forefront?
I reckon I went and studied fashion design.
Of course you fucking did.
Why?
This guy.
Why? How does that even happen? Was it like a dating technique?
I'm not a little bit unsure about what.
Oh, this is getting loose now. Derek's picking up his
he's taking a bit. No, I get it.
That's a good idea. It's actually a better idea breaking it down like that. Yeah. The problem is that as the guest you talk the most. So it's going to be, 97 can come and
I thought giving a few visuals.
Here. Yeah, that's good.
I don't know why. I started making my own clothes. I think when I was working at the disco, I started and I went into the city and there was an ancient, it was called the Job Warehouse, and there was an ancient warehouse somewhere at the top of maybe Bourke Street. And it was literally just dusty old warehouse with old rolls of fabric. It was amazing.
It's like a
and all the fashion
spotlight.
People would go there, and yeah, it was like a spotlight from the 1950s that had just frozen in time.
Real dusty.
It was all dusty.
And not there anymore.
And I used to go in there because you couldn't get a Hawaiian shirt. That's what happened. You couldn't get a Hawaiian shirt in the '80s because it wasn't allowed.
What do you mean?
Well, it was just totally not allowed because it was only from the decade before. So it was like. Fuck that right off. You couldn't wear brown.
What do you mean?
There was no brown in the 80s.
I've missed a whole history.
What's the equivalent of a fashion trend now that is relatable to the young kids in the room, Mr. 97?
There's things you can't do. Like you guys probably went through a period where you couldn't wear a flannel for a few years.
Yeah, flannels have definitely gone out.
As a response
out, come
to
back
the 90s grunge thing. And that would come
Crosby
back.
Shoes, like those Crocs.
Crocs are probably the big one.
But they... Yeah. Popular and then they go out and then they actually come back in based on how unpopular they are.
Yeah,
and the pushback that, you know, hipsters have. So you're a fashionista now.
But you're trying to find a Hawaiian shirt, couldn't find one.
You couldn't get a Hawaiian shirt
in Melbourne.
In 1984 in Melbourne. Fluoro had hit really hard. There was no Hawaiian.
This is the start of some sort of film, don't you think?
It had been invented. Pretty much in, 82 or something.
This is a great story to go alongside shergsshirts.com. It's sort of like...
What product are you going to sell?
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, so I was in Job Warehouse and I found some old originale Hawaiian shirt fabric. And then I went, well, I better go and get the trading post out and get a sewing machine. And that was it. So I just made some Hawaiian shirts.
I love
and then
that.
I made some jackets and some pants and then I spoke to my old art teacher. I said, I really like this. And she said, I did fashion at RMIT. You should do it too. And I said, all right, I freaking will. I said, how do I get in? And she said, you know, you just go along with some drawings and take all the clothes you've made and have a chat. I'm going, all right. So I signed up. And that year, this would have to be 86 by now, and that was the year that RMIT fashion became – a degree.
Really?
Like so you much went more from serious business. So they just go, who is this weirdo with these really badly made clothes?
Still
and
in.
No folio whatsoever. Not even HSC.
So did you even, how far along did you get
no,
that?
They told me to fuck off.
Was it the Blues Brothers suit that you still had on?
I was just so unfashionable. I still am. But I just had no eye for it whatsoever. And so I did get in. I got into Geelong Gordon Institute.
For fashion.
For fashion, yeah. And I went and studied fashion that year.
And you did you do it? Did you finish it?
No, I didn't finish it. But I, as I was doing it, and this is where the answer to the question from way back then.
What was the question?
I can't remember.
When
he's got it.
When I asked that art teacher what they like to see, she said, they really like it if you screen print your own fabric.
Mm.
She was talking about 20 years earlier. You know what I mean? It was like,
Screen print your own fabric.
So I went and got a screen printing material and actually made my own frame with a pocket knife and stretched it with a staple gun and cut out a thing and screen printed some stuff. And I got into that so much that halfway through the fashion course, I just started a screen printing business.
Amazing. You know who else had a screen printing business?
Who?
Craig Harper.
Really?
Legit had a big machine running, like full operation.
Yeah, I had a shit one in the backyard.
What were the sort of designs that you were doing in the screen printing?
It was just whatever people wanted.
Yeah.
You know, used like fitness clubs quite a lot of. Mm-hmm. People got onto me and I just printed their fitness clubs.
So this is your first business?
That was it.
Late 80s?
Yep.
Or mid 80s?
Yep.
What's the investment back then in a screen printer?
Fuck all. I think my 21st birthday present.
That's an official amount.
Well, I was just doing it brutally,
yeah,
not very cleverly.
So you were just using
but
a fucking
stencil. But I got a carousel.
You had the carousel. How many T-shirts?
Four-colour carousel. I got it as a 21st present from my parents.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then I was off and racing. But I did a different thing. I used to screen print black and white onto a T-shirt and then airbrush some colours on. That's the 80s thing.
Mm. The Hot Rod show at what's the centre just there, the one that's close by on Nicholson, Geelong? No, sorry. Yeah, Nicholson Street. You meant to fit when I do
the
that.
Museum.
You meant to finish my sentence. Yeah,
what's I only the finish if I know.
Where's the convention that, like, the Hot Rod show?
Exhibition buildings.
Yes, thank you. That's
not on Nicholson Street, is it? That's on the other side of the city.
There's two. That's why I get confused.
Jeff's Shed, which is
not Jeff's Exhibition Shed. Building. What's the one I'm Royal Exhibition.
Exhibition
IMAX,
building.
Where IMAX is.
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah, gotcha.
There's like an old school one. Anyway, they would always with the hot rod show they would do the airbrushing onto hats, so you could get sick hats with the whole
how sick were they though?
Well, they got real crusty,
repulsive.
Well, because they had it, they would do so many different colors. Did you ever airbrush onto anything else?
Yeah, that's okay. I met a girlfriend doing it. She came up, said, "Oh, could you do an Astro Boy?"
What does that mean?
Was obsessed with Astro Boy. It was a cartoon.
Yeah, I remember a girl who had a tattoo of an Astro Boy.
What was her name? This could be interesting.
Sammy. No. That would have been funny. She was a lot younger.
I thought Astro Boy was like late 90s. But it's more recent,
no,
is
no,
it?
No, way back. Astro Boy is probably from the 60s.
Really?
Mr. 97
is thinking,
so.
What the fuck is Astro Boy?
Yep. Yeah. Astro Boy, yeah. No, he had big hair, didn't he?
No, he had a weird kind of look like Sonic.
Looked like a helmet.
Yeah.
He was plastic. Anyway.
And so the t-shirt thing, how long did you last doing
that? And I ended up sitting at the Croydon Market airbrushing, 80s iconography like cocktails and makeup and stuff onto T-shirts live for people.
That's so much.
So this thing, are you thinking this is – what I'm was there a serious nature about this attempt for the business?
No.
That's what I'm getting. I don't want to say it for you, but I feel like the things Josh and I do –
just getting enough money to survive.
We fucking take things so seriously. Yeah. Like think about all the business. I'm like, this is it. This is me for the next 10. It gets more serious as we go. This is probably the big, most intense venture that we're committing to.
Derek feels like it's more of the school of the starving artist. Do you think like there's something in that which is in the creative pursuit that like I think about what we do, and even though with podcasting we don't make any money, I was speaking to a dancer a few years ago and she was sort of like she did like African style dancing or whatever, and she was saying how hard it is being an artist, and she was sort of referring to me as like, oh, you know, you must understand how hard it is. I'm like, actually, I was thinking in my head, as someone who does video production, you can make okay money.
Is there an appeal to the starving artist or, you know?
Yeah. It's more pure. You don't have to deal with as many clients.
I mean, my thought, I've always looked at it and thought, there's also like a lack of dedication or commitment, or there's a commitment issue within sort of giving it everything. It's like it's always just ready for plan B, or just like, oh, I can go and do that if it doesn't work out.
How do you feel about it, Derek, now that Tommy slammed you?
No, I just remind you, by the time I was 30, then I had a sculpting business that had three staff. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah. All then.
No, but so wasn't your thing.
Yeah, so no, it wasn't my thing. I was just surviving. I was like, you know, having a good time, probably too much of a good time, and you're just doing things that were avoiding getting a job, proper job.
Well, so look at it. It's like, how many people are the not the starving artists, but the ones that aren't taking that seriously, they're doing okay.
Yep.
And there's less of intensity about it.
You've got to be able to do that in your 20s, right? Like Jules talks about that a lot. Just do free work, do shit that you want to do, because when you're in your 30s, that's when you start getting mortgages and having kids and having to worry about all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
You might.
So you got three kids. I mean, you got three staff, which are pretty much kids. Was that your next venture?
Yeah. So what did I do? I'm doing the screen printing, and then I fucked off and lived in England.
Did you take the screen printing shit with you?
No.
He left.
But I got in a bit of a position because I was, you know,
a bit of a position.
Once you're in a different country, you can say whatever you are. It doesn't really matter, especially if it requires equipment.
So what were you?
Fake it to you.
I was an airbrush artist, right? But I was living with these Northern Irishmen in North London, and they went for a week of these crazy walks with this stray Alsatian.
What's it called?
Dog.
I don't know. Alsatian.
Alsatian dog. Yeah, you got it right. Shepherd.
So we went on these crazy walks, and one day this Irishman he pops us into this weird building. You know, it's like a church or something. You know what it was? It was a fucking biker clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, stripper poles, drugs.
It was
like all of Tommy's favourite things.
Because I was a hippie.
G'day, guys. It's Tommy's favourite things. Today we're talking about bikey clubs, stripper poles. Geez, you're getting a bit Jeff Jowett from 1998.
Dude, that's what happens there. That's what happens. You know it. What was there? What was inside?
Well, that was just like he said.
I got it right. But I've actually seen it from movies. I've never been to a bikey club.
They didn't have the poles.
No poles.
I think they brought their
own. So then they had the drugs.
Their own poles. But I don't remember that much about it. I was just like, you know, you've got this internal dialogue going, just be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be Josh.
Yeah, loose lips.
Dobbing on the news.
Yeah, don't be a narc. Wait, so
can I just say something?
Yeah.
Narc, I believe, comes from a narcotics agent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a policeman is a narc. So when people, groups of
That's
bad
why I was
guys,
confused go, when you said it.
Oh, are you a narc? To a normal person, they're saying, are you an undercover cop?
Mm-hmm.
So a narc, a dibber-dobber.
I don't think it's right.
So do you think a dibber-dobber is different to a narc? I think a narc sounds better because it sounds like...
Well, a narc is a policeman.
Narc is short for narcotics.
You can't be a narc unless you're
an
undercover cop.
You're a narc. Yeah, but it's relating to drugs. That's why I was like, he's not outing drug offences.
Rat's pretty... I reckon rat.
But yeah, well, I'll settle for a rat.
Rat might be
I'll take rat
someone
for
who was...
I called him a rat dog once.
Oh, rat dog.
That's
you're a fucking rat.
Rat dog. Because what happened? You did something.
No.
It annoyed me. It was just this. Oh, nah, you're wanting me to touch your fucking arm that had skin peeling off from sunburning.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
I'm like, you're a rat dog.
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
That wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Disgusting, mate.
So you're in the bikey clubhouse.
Yes. And so I get introduced to these guys and they're just like how you'd imagine London bikers to be like.
Mm. Is it skinhead
London
vibe?
London accents on bikers.
Was it skinhead, different vibe? Like is this, because I know like London, over in the, where were the skinheads from? Because that was.
Can we just point out one thing? England. I'm so fucking close to Derek and Mr. 97 always has a go at me about that I'm always edging off the screen. Look how close I am. But how can I get any close? Like it feels like I'm very close, doesn't it?
Desmond. Not to me.
So how could I get any closer? That's what I'm
wondering.
Move
your bum. So rather than your bum, just spread it across. Put a cheek.
Does that feel better?
That's better. That's much better.
Does that feel better to you as well?
That
feels
okay. Yeah, it's
good. We're professionals. If our legs are touching, no one knows. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay, cool. And so skinheads.
They're not skinheads.
They're not skinheads. They're just rough. Bikers.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. So they said, "What do you do, mate?" And I said, "Oh, I'm an airbrush artist." Oh, you beauty. And I'm going, "Oh, what?" goes, you got to do our tanks, mate. You know, like flames and shit.
On the bike.
Do our whole club and put our club thing on the – I'd never done it, any of that shit ever before. I just used fabric ink and just bullshit on like brutally. Mate, all my gear's in Melbourne. We'll pay for it, mate. We'll pay for it. I'm going, get me fucking out of here. I don't know how I wriggled out. I just went, yeah, look, I'll look into it. And
what was the plan?
I was ready to say that my parents had sold everything.
When you went to London, what was the actual plan?
I never planned. There was no plan.
So you got it. You were on a what sort of passport have you got? Because your parents.
Yeah, I've got an EU passport and an Australian passport.
So you just rocked.
Born in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a plan. My official reason, because if you say you don't have an official reason, everyone gives you the hard time.
Yeah.
Find Bjork.
Find Bjork.
Yeah.
Find the artist Bjork.
Yeah, I just wanted to run into her. That was like. Did you find her? Everyone kept hassling me for a reason, and I told them that.
Did you find her?
I thought I did one time, but
You were pretty
late
pissed.
One night.
What year was it? What year was it?
93.
Because I was watching the Queen film, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm.
Live Aid happened in, was it like 91 or something? Does that sound about right, or was it there?
Doesn't sound right at all. Okay. When was Live Aid? I thought I was working in the disco.
It could have been. It could have been the 80s. Can you look up when Live Aid was on, please, 97?
And so how long did you spend in the UK?
You were meant to be there
maybe
for a year.
Maybe 1.5 years, okay. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember.
And so was
85.
It? 85. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, I was when I was at the disco.
And so I think 91 was when Freddie Mercury died, maybe.
Mm.
So what was the actual living arrangements when you were in London?
What happened? Flew in. My ex-girlfriend who'd been there already for a period of time.
Qantas?
She was an expert. No.
Who?
Qantas. Ferrells. What are we? Olympic or something?
Olympic, okay.
Yeah. Oh, Qantas was too posh for the likes of me.
How did your parents get out here, just by the way?
Qantas.
Oh, really? They flew.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We did.
I had some Scottish clients.
I wet my pants on the plane.
Did you? You remember it.
Just you don't forget that.
Yeah, you definitely don't forget that. I had some Scottish PT clients. got the boat here. Took like 4 weeks.
Can you actually do that nowadays?
It's a luxury.
There'd be less like, hey, just jump on a boat. You'll be in Scotland in three, 4 weeks.
But like cruise liners, could I go on a cruise to Europe?
There's specific ones that go from here to Sydney to New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe from there, New Zealand, I get, and maybe like Vanuatu and all that sort of Polynesian islands.
Yeah,
or whatever.
There's European cruises.
But I wonder going the other way.
Do they have cruise liners out in those rough, cold?
That's what I was wondering. Rations. Like the big fuck off, massive like.
I'm sure.
Well, 97's looking it up, I think.
Yeah. Can you book one in?
You can sail from Sydney to London.
Really?
Sick. Yeah. That'd be sick to do the podcast. That like a, imagine
how
that.
Much? How much?
What do you reckon?
Well, let's guess.
Dates and pricing.
All right, can I guess? 8,000.
It's through like Asia and stuff. And you.
Okay, so it's a lot of hopping
fucking
around.
Long time.
So
it takes
what were your guesses?
8,000.
$11,500 package gets you accommodation, food.
Including alcohol?
Yes. Oh, no, not including alcohol.
They have
alcohol.
To give you that. What if you get on and you haven't got your wallet?
Yeah.
You've got 4 months and you can't eat.
No, you're meant to. A lot of them are pre-purchased using credit card. You have this thing. And
surely it's not fucking four. How long do we think it's going to take?
Oh, it's minimum 3 weeks.
I reckon it will take 25 days.
Okay.
What do you think?
I said 21, basically.
21 what did I say? 25.
Hopping around Asia, I'm saying 30 days, 32 days, and I'm going to up it to 15 grand.
Okay.
$39,000.
$39,000.
Starting at $39,000.
That's a shitty room downstairs too.
That is not a 10-pound pom.
And it's from February 11th to May 2nd.
It's like three months. April, May. Far out.
Oh, well, that's fair enough then.
Yeah,
that's silly.
Three and a bit months.
That's actually a bit silly. That's a silly trip, isn't it?
Sillycruise.com.
But some people like are really into cruises. They're going to die on a ship, so they just go from one thing to another.
They've got morgues on ships, I heard, like a freeze room where you can put the body in. Just heard that.
Yeah, keep them with the frozen cheesecakes. So anyway, you arrived. Your girlfriend was in England.
No, my ex-girlfriend was there. She met me in the airport, and then we cruised a lot. She took me to the pub where she worked. And then that night, I still didn't have any digs. I had nowhere to stay. Uh-huh. Mm.
Is she Australian, by the way?
Yeah. So we went to a pub called Molly Malone's in a little tiny suburb called Newington Green, which was like Stoke Newington, northern suburbs, kind of a bit sort of not rough, yeah, maybe rough, a mixed suburb.
Yeah, I do like the little suburb names in London.
Yeah, and surrounding.
Yeah.
Nice. So we went there and just got absolutely fucking hammered.
Dude, how good are the pubs in UK? Oh. Like London, I went to this pub that was 200 years old or something fucking ridiculous like this. You walk into the pub, you have to duck. I had to duck, 6 foot two. I'm ducking because it's probably about under 6 foot door frame, and it's got a leather cushion on the top of the door frame. So it's like that was the legit size of people back then. Yeah. Or that's what they built them like.
Yeah.
There's some places in Tasmania that are like that, not that old, but Tassie has some, like I stayed in some places that were like ex-jails or whatever.
Really?
You go in, it's really, really cool.
I wonder if that height thing is not so much, I don't know how quickly we can evolve into of being a foot taller.
I don't think it's been pretty quick.
Like if you've got a little fire and you've got to burn three logs of wood, you can heat a low ceiling.
Wouldn't you think just the
posh people had high ceilings?
I mean, logic is a thing that humans possess. Wouldn't you just think to make a door frame, who's the tallest guy around? Let's get it probably about that.
That's why I think it's a heating thing, to just keep the heat in.
Interesting. Yeah.
I feel like you know that is a fact.
No, made it up just then.
Okay. And so you got plastered, you stayed at the ex-girlfriend's that night?
No. The publican, we became like best pals immediately.
Yeah.
Gabby, his name was. And what was weird is they closed the pub at 11. I'm going, oh, what are we going to do now? I better go and find a hostel sort of thing. They're going, what are you talking about? The night is young. And they pull the blinds down and just
it's a lock-in.
Carry on till 5 in the morning.
It's a lock-in.
The only difference between officially open and locked in is when you're locked in, everyone just starts rolling joints.
Is locked in an actual official term?
It's an official term in the sort of, what is it, the
pub culture?
Pub culture, but what do you call it? Fucking the name.
Hospitality?
Yeah, it's the one. My mate's got a pizza bar and they do lock-ins. Where it's like a bunch of pubs.
You can't leave.
So no, it's licensing stuff,
it's
right?
It's like the night at the fucking museum, isn't
it? They're licensed to a certain time, and then they close the doors and just keep drinking the alcohol.
It's just a way. It's not technically legal.
Yeah,
but it's not a danger. Mm. And the licensing, if you're clearly just having your friends around,
So it's the owner with their friends having.
But in
a few
the UK,
beers.
It's just rampant because they closed at 11, which is nuts.
Did you guys ever do a sleepover at your primary school?
I remember they were happening. I don't think I did, though.
Had a few quiet snoozes, but not a sleep. No,
actually, we had a sleep. I just, that night at the museum idea or being locked in, I remember that was like the first, I'm sure the first sleepover I ever went on.
All you would hear is just Josh on his walkie-talkie.
It's definitely got walkie-talkie vibes.
We did that kind of shit at a school camp, more school camp vibe. Everyone in this big room sleeping, just trying to stay up late.
What, Derek, where were the school camps that you went on?
I remember being in a wagon.
Like Sovereign Hill style?
Oh, no.
He's not that old, bro.
But as in Sovereign Hill, like actually.
Sovereign Hill real time?
Yeah, the Gold Rush? Are you referring to the Gold Rush?
No, there was one school camp. I don't know if it's still there. I think it was on Phillip Island. And there was
a lot of camps in
And there was like these big wagon, fake wagons. So you
had
bunks in them.
Mm-hmm.
So you slept in a wagon.
Did you enjoy
this? I didn't go to Summers. I don't know why.
We didn't. What do you mean Summers?
What's Summers?
Summers is the main camp down on the peninsula.
Oh, Summers. It's a suburb called Summers.
Yeah, down on the peninsula at the beach. And there's a camp there that nearly everyone goes to.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Summers never, camp.
Never went to that?
Never went to it. It must be specific schools. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Do you remember it being a good time, or were you sort of traumatized by the idea of going on school camp?
Yeah, that was a bit. Yeah, it's a bit of a. I didn't like it because I had asthma and stuff, and suddenly the notion of what if I wet the bed just came out of nowhere. Yeah.
Well, you pissed your pants on the way here.
So. Well, I was sick. I was 6 years old.
Scarred. Oh,
you mean on the way up here. The stairs. Have you seen those stairs? Absolutely, yeah. So it was all right. Yeah, I had a great time on camp. It was pretty normal.
And so coming when you're six
years
old.
Had my first pash on a camp.
You only bring up this now. What?
Just remembered. I forgot about high school camps.
When was the last time you actually thought about this shit? I thought more about childhood being around this bloke than I ever have.
I love nostalgia.
It was some of his best times, or some of my worst times. I think it's like, yeah, we've spoken about that. As I've got older, it's like I've taken control more so of what I've wanted to do and the fun I've had. But this guy, he peaked at fucking grade six.
I won the Red Faces competition at school camp.
Oh, not...
Not Red Faces Red Simons. But no, I did a fat bastard impersonation.
I'd pay you that. That would be funny.
I actually remember exactly what I said.
Who's Fat Bastard?
Fat Bastard. From Austin Powers.
Austin
Powers,
you know.
Oh, eat the baby.
It's Mike Myers, just in a fat suit. So and his face is...
Yeah, I know the guy.
It was Steve Irwin and Fat Bastard. I did both of them. And all I said, I couldn't believe the energy. Like, the teachers, I think, were laughing at the outrageousness of the whole thing. Because actually, going back to the very first Red Faces, like school camp for me... became, because I went in grade three for a grade four camp. They were doing like needed to make up numbers, so some of the grade threes. And so I'd heard, mum must have told me like they're doing Red Faces, so you better prepare. And so I brought two tennis balls, a dress, and I got dressed up as a Spice Girl and did, so tell me what you want, what you really, really want and all that something. Anyway, so I did that. But then when I was in high school, it was... The big thing of doing the impersonations, and what I did was, it was very short. The Fat Bastard impersonation was this.
Get in my belly, I'm gonna eat ya. I got a bit of corn in my clap.
And then they all laughed. And then the second one was...
It was timely. The movie was probably just out.
It only just came out. Yeah. But I think it was maybe the outrageousness of... the whole thing, and that I thought it was funny. That maybe made it funny. I won't even do the Steve Irwin one based on that reaction.
And based on poor bastard not with us.
What do you mean?
Steve Irwin.
I thought you meant Fat Bastard. I'm like, my mind is still around.
Did you release something? Like you weren't skinny then, were you?
No, I was chubby.
You were officially chubby? Or
yes. Chubby? No, I was a fat kid who made fat jokes
Release them to have a bit of a laugh at something? Like, did maybe. It give the audience a bit of
Yeah,
release?
Maybe. I was probably a little fat kid. I was always front-footing the fat thing, always saying, like, hey, look how quickly I could eat this sundae.
I mean, we did it today with your sandwich, but you just
Whereas I'm a dainty
anymore.
Sparrow.
No, but you accidentally ate a fucking curry before. Do I have to remind
and
you?
And you've been doing most of the talking. So you've left London. You're back in Australia. Then what?
God, yeah. Oh.
What career were you
I
up
want
to
find out more about the making out in at the camp.
Oh, really?
Just real quick, if it's not weird.
He wants to hear about you as a four-year-old, year four.
Just how old? No, he was in high school.
Awkward pash.
Form four. Yeah.
So is that grade four or is that okay? No. Different.
Form four. No, can you actually explain?
This girl, Mandy, I had a crush on her for ages and then we had a pash. I was shocked. You look back now, you go, why? Why would you do that?
What did you do?
You know, like just flat out, just hell for leather.
Hell for leather.
We just sat back and laughed because we both did the same thing.
Did you really laugh about it afterwards?
We both did, yeah.
We used to do like...
it was ridiculous. It wasn't like the movies at all.
It never is for the first ones. We used to put on a timer to see, it was like with, you know, kissing a girl is like putting on a timer. Right, let's go. Yeah.
Really?
Then we'd be timing out how long we can go for.
Yep.
That's a good little trick.
I remember that blue light disco.
I mean, Mr. 97's face, he's shook.
Can you believe that?
Have you done that, Mr. 97?
No. I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah. It's cooked.
Timer.
Well, no, it was grade six, bro. Yeah.
Timer at his next date. Timer at the next date. Yeah. We get him a little analog clock. It won't be sus at all. Put it around his neck with little instructions on the back. No, but the... I mean, the pashing thing, the first time I ever pashed someone, her name was Catherine and her mum actually worked at Mars. And
it was a total inside job? Well, it was getting through to the parents?
No, it was
fly in, fly out?
Yeah.
Mars is a long way.
Yeah, it's actually very good. Sorry. Well done, Dad. What it actually was I remember it was the first time I ever had Mars bar because it was an interact, like it was a, what's it called? Transaction. Mm. She gave me some Mars bar and we kissed. Like it was, I was sort of a, I whored
That's
myself.
Bribery.
Yeah, no, I was whoring myself out in prep.
She wanted to kiss.
She wanted to kiss me. She was sort of seen as her and I, like I hadn't sort of put on a bunch of weight at that point, but she was sort of seen as the sort of stockier one of the group.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And so you, did you get a bit of tongue in?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was a full patch.
What grade?
A prep. Mm. Oh, but at that point
weird.
It's pretty young. Can you imagine young son Tom, your son?
You can't do that with the headphones.
No, I know.
Derek just pushed the headphones in just to hear.
I wanted to hear more.
Tommy.
How old is your son? He's
11. The daughter's 9.
Has he had a pash yet?
No.
You don't
what
talk.
Do you know? I mean, I'm just pushing.
It's my job to say no like that. God, say it's out rolls.
What I'd done at 11?
What had you done at 11?
Shit. What grade are you? That's like
year 7, grade 6, year 6.
Grade 5.
I smoked weed for the first time in grade 5.
I don't.
Isn't that bad?
Yeah.
Who gave it to you?
Found it in a friend's dad's drawer.
Everything you found in your friend's parents' place.
Yeah, yeah. Some things we won't mention. But
that was a warning if you didn't realise.
My brother, this is nostalgia stories. My brother came home. And he pulls out of his bag, shows Mum, look at this. Wendy gave it to me. A dildo. Oh, no. Wendy had taken it from her parents' drawer and given it to my brother at school. And then he'd taken it home because he thought it was funny. It was a dick.
So
he forfolded it.
Mum took it, threw it straight in the bin.
Really? Did she contact Wendy's parents?
I don't know.
You think you would?
I don't know. It'd be too awkward. I'd be like, not going there.
So, Derek, what did you actually do? So you had your night at the pub and then...
Then he said, oh, look, you're welcome to stay upstairs, but you've got to share a room with a stray Alsatian dog.
Mm-hmm.
But just be careful because there's a few words that make him go mental because I think he might have been an attack dog.
Yeah. Spam.
Spam, yeah.
He just hated what
That's
was
my trigger, not his. So... So I got, I stayed there.
Was that serious? Did he really say that? He said about the trigger words?
Yeah, yeah. I never make shit up on podcasts.
Serious? That was so serious.
So I stayed in there for a long time up in that room and the wallpaper. I even saw some ghosts.
Like days?
No, months.
Months?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, so he could just.
6 months or so. I lived there with him.
Yeah.
It's the Alsatian.
What did you actually have to do?
There was some crazy shit happened in that place. Like. You know Daniel Day-Lewis?
No.
No.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, right. So he was in a film called The Name of the Father.
Yeah.
Which was about one of the Northern Irishmen that was in prison and stuff like that.
Mm.
So they had the opening of that movie. And because it was an Irish pub, it was a bit of iconic. Like the band called The Pogues used to come and drink there and stuff like that. So it was kind of the iconic back blocks secret place for renowned Irish people to go to.
Mm.
And I was out partying, doing young folk things. And when I got back, they said, oh, you should have been here. They were all here. Like they had the after party for the opening of that film in the pub. And then when they did the lock-in, because no one wanted to leave, like it was jam-packed, they had to lock it in and they said, oh, we're going now. And Daniel Day-Lewis and the Irish guy who it was about were both hiding in my room, just trampling my backpack and my Walkman, right? Just standing there hiding, drinking a pint, dribbling beer on my stuff, and while they got everyone out of the pub so they could go back down. So there you go.
That's
the weirdest name drop you'll hear.
Yeah, and you didn't even...
Daniel Day dribbled beer on my sleeping bag.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You most recently worked on scooters and now you've shifted into podcasting.
Yep.
When did you actually think that podcasting was going to be a thing that you'd do?
January.
Well, no, you've had it on your radar.
January.
When did you start listening to the Daily Talk Show? First 50 apps?
January 2018.
Yeah.
As in like last year.
It was pretty fresh.
Mm.
Yep.
And I remember at the time Tommy said, oh man, there's this cool dude up the road who's doing this vinyl thing on Instagram. And I started following. And at that time you had the Aussie Vinyl Show. It was just you on Instagram recording bits of you playing old vinyls and talking
shit.
It's weird. It's like the foundations of the building that is my podcasting career or whatever are still just a little muddy patch, and that is the Aussie Vinyl Show.
Yeah.
And all around it is like a ring-shaped building. You know what I mean? It's all growing around. I haven't done that podcast yet, but I've done three others and I produce others and do all sorts of other stuff. So it's great. I'm loving it. But it was January when I was on holidays and I was started recording some of the true crimers and stuff like that in the studio that it sort of started to get a bit of traction and the whole notion. Mm-hmm. Now I do a few corporates and stuff like that. So it's good. I've got enough hope to back out. It's hard to go from a business where you, anytime you want, you can get $100 an hour back to where you've got to deal with people going, you know, giving you $40 and going, oh, my guests just cancelled and all this sort of shit. So my time management has completely changed. It's a whole different world.
You've pushed back on a couple of times when we've called you Scooter Derek.
Yeah.
Well, because you're the rebrand, I get it. You've been the character Scooter Derek on our show. Do we need to make a change? Is there something that we can do that assists the rebrand in the direction that you want?
I think Scooter Derek's strong.
Who was it? Yeah, one of your guests in the early days sort of pushed back a little bit on the branding. You were talking about rebranding, something to do with Josh's hat.
Was it Ryan John?
It might have been Ryan.
It was early days with the hats. The hats was – I haven't worn a hat since early 2018.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
So I'm pretty sure.
It was the type of hats.
They were talking about what rebranding meant.
Mm.
Like, and I don't think I rebrand at all.
Sure.
Ever.
Are you fucking kidding me? You've had like 40 jobs.
Hairy fat guy.
That's what I said at the start of the show. You've rebranded. I think your look is the same in terms of your clothing rebrand.
Calling me Scooter Derek is just locking me into the last 8 years, which is a drop in the ocean.
Mm. Yeah.
So
what do we call
know.
You?
I don't know. Not screen printing Derek or wrought iron Derek or blacksmith Derek or hall keeper Derek.
Do you think there's something?
A lot of people call me Dirty Derek, but that doesn't really work in the long term.
We haven't experienced.
How did Dirty Derek actually come about?
Well, at my wedding, we were.
That sounds filthy.
Yeah, yeah. So at my.
Yeah, it is.
At my wedding, we all my friends were there and they just called me Dirty. Like, it was just, that was my name.
Why?
Not even Dirty Derek, just Dirty.
Dirty.
I'll get to why. You'll have to wait. But they all going up, hey, Dirty, come and get a photo. Or Dirty this, Dirty that. And my mum's going, Dirty, why does everyone call you Dirty? And I said, oh, it's because I'm a blacksmith. Just like the nickname came from wearing, for just having black on my face.
And that was the actual reason?
No. Just a potty mouth. Just being a potty mouth. Being dirty, having dirty jokes.
Okay. Did you feel, because you're a pretty progressive guy now that we've seen the flow through of the Me Too movement and feminism.
It's interesting.
Where does dirty fit into
Well, exactly. I mean, dirty, there's still a place for being dirty without being disrespectful.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
You sound so hot.
I'm not
right
putting
now.
Anyone down.
There's a place for dirty.
You know, with me too, you do as best as you can when you're my age, go through your memory and just scour your memory for anything someone might one day say you did wrong. I can't really come up with anything.
Oh, I'm glad.
This is not a call out for anyone with any ideas.
But what's the dirt? So the dirty bit is it's just like.
Just smutty.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe smutty, maybe some good jokes that might have been dirty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like dirty, just like you were saying with Fat Fridays, Derek early day said, guys, I think that the Fat Fridays needs to be changed to, what'd you say, Friday Feast?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bit fucking soft.
Call me stoic.
But, very soft.
I just thought about, I was thinking about more about the branding than
but you,
calling people fat.
Calling you dirty from a branding isn't great either, is it?
In the modern world, Well, I'm not asking to be called that anymore, but so people still do.
You're not going to be called Dirty Derek. You don't want to be called Scooter Derek. That's what I'm feeling. I'm vibing.
Eric.
You definitely don't want to be called
Eric a few times today.
You don't want to be called Eric. That was a low blood sugar response from Josh. That's
that was me
happened.
Dropping the D.
Can I be 3D Derek?
3D? No, absolutely not.
No.
Trademark.
Podcast. Nah.
No podcast in there. I think Scooter Derek, I think I love Scooter Derek because the thing is it's your the space that you've been in, what we've seen it transform over time to having scooters out the front and all that sort of thing.
I'm cool with it. I'm just not that fussed. Yeah. So if there's a Derek in there, I'm branded up.
Okay. How serious are you taking this now? As in the podcasting.
And I think you said the nickname.
Feed a family. I've got to feed a family. So it's not as serious as that.
There we go. How many do you
need? I've got the spam ready for you today.
That's 2 days.
No, but how do you sort of think through that one?
I don't know. Well, I've just completely restructured my workshop area and been a bit more sensible. I've got a bit of a warehouse in Collingwood that I rent, but I've sublet it out to take a lot of the pressure off, and that should allow me to be more creative. Like since starting the scooters, creativity just stopped dead, and you don't realize it's gone.
Do you do this every time though? You don't realize you've had it till it's gone. Does it get to a point every time with every single thing that you do where you look back at it with contentment?
No.
So scooters was something that you don't – before you went to scoot – before you were doing scooters and say you were doing the steel work or whatever, do you say that fucking steel work was soul-destroying?
No, it wasn't. It was creative. I have people that I can go around this suburb on a push bike and see
– Stop bragging.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work that I've done still on the Robbie Burns Hotel, everywhere you go. So I'm really proud of that work, and it's creative, and you sit down with someone, you draw something, someone ums and ahs, they give you 10 grand, you build it, they go, oh, it's beautiful, and then they send you an email, you know, a month later going, we just love that, just want to tell you.
What's the pricing structure?
That's pretty satisfying, and with the scooters you don't get that.
What's the pricing structure on steel? How would you – do you remember how you would actually what they cost drive. It out? What was that? What they drive. So if it's a good car – No, was it? Did you have any formula? How much is? I'm guessing steel's expensive.
It was, but it's probably a lot more now.
Really?
You just design it, and your mind.
So you look at something, and say that's about $6,000.
Your mind is calculating how long it's going to take to do. But it is like the what they drive thing is a sort of a joke, but it's sort of true. Because if someone like I did work for some pretty hardcore mansions, and they expect it all to be. They expect you to spend an hour making that turn by hand. Yeah. It has to be this thick and all that. Mm-hmm. So you do have to crank it up. So with wrought iron, you've got a nouveau riche plumber's wife from Sunshine looking to try and save money by coming to you because you're the manufacturer. It's like take a hike, lady.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're the specialist.
Exactly.
This morning we were sketching out. We weren't getting you to do some wrought iron though, but we're sketching out a bit of a floor plan at our new office that we may have.
We announced it on yesterday's show.
Yeah. So we still need to fingers crossed have it across the line. But you said to us in terms of how much it is per year, because it's a we're stretching to do it, but we're putting our chips on it, we're taking a risk to do it. And you said, we told you the number, and you're like, ah, that's just big boy rent. But what I took from that was you're a guy who's taken punts, you've taken risk, you know, like you've had a space for 20 years on this street, and now this street, the joint across the road, renting for $150,000 a year.
Oh, it's horrifying.
It's crazy, but there's an element of risk in that. So I think you've probably lent into risk across your time, and you're still here. You're still on Easy Street. In terms of people like us starting business, what's the Scooter Derek risk assessment that you take?
I've dropped a lot of advice on people on this very topic over the years, which is weird because I have just been like in the same place.
Yeah.
So, well, I did move. I started down in Abbotsford. It's now Abbotsford Tools in a shop, just building things and sculpting and trying out my hand at craft and stuff like that. But, yeah, when we moved into that building, it was a shitload. It was a shitload of money. Mm. It was just so big. We didn't know what to do. There was no walls. None of the walls were in there. And we just got the trading post, found a basketball ring. Went and got it from Oakley.
Necessity.
That seems like the first fucking thing we should do.
Look over there, Derek. What we need is something, and then there's a list of what we need for the office, and then there's priorities.
We just spent two. Yeah, we just don't actually have a basketball ring.
We should get a small basketball ring.
Yeah, for outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
Garage.
No. Yeah, we could probably get one that we wheel out from the garage to play a bit of b-ball. But ping pong table is you're good. You're actually quite good at ping pong. I'm surprised. So I think we should get some ping pong and really up our skills.
I feel like that was your way of selling it. You know that I wouldn't say no to a ping pong
table. Definitely, exactly why.
You're very good at ping pong, so we need it.
You couldn't beat me at ping pong.
Okay, we're getting a ping pong table. So that's a priority.
They're a little bit annoying, but fuck, I didn't actually, 97, if you thought of a sporting piece of gear that we could have in the office, pool table.
Pool table's too much because you level them. Air hockey's okay because it's pretty, you know, lightweight.
Ping pong.
Let's do ping pong.
Well, what comes to mind? What do you think?
Yeah, I reckon either ping pong or you could do like an indoor basketball hoop.
Indoor basketball.
Just like a mini one that you can just like throw it across.
Yeah, like a little one with a soft like rubber ball would be fun.
Do both of those. And so you got your basketball ring from the tradie.
We did that and we just spent a couple of days shooting hoops, smashed a window and that window's still broken. It's got a bit of wood over
it. Was this calming the nerves of how much you're now paying per month?
We were just scared and we were unprofessional. But that jump, look at the difference between, I've seen so many people, and this I call it the Johnson Street theory, right?
Why is it called the Johnson Street theory?
Well, I'll tell you, because on Johnson Street, you've got people that want to start up a business and they're going to throw 30 grand at the fit out on plywood and whatever, right?
Or on steel stuff.
Well, whatever, right? Spend all the money on fit out and then get the stock and then stand in there. Think about it. Standing there for 2 years, that's a bunch of dough. Mm-hmm. All instead of getting in a functioning, walk past retail area.
You're talking about minimum viable product
right now.
All
to save money because they're nervous about that initial horrifying annual rent amount. Mm-hmm. Fuck it, just go and get what you need completely.
Yeah. Well, you think that Johnson Street.
Don't believe in your business, don't start it in the first place.
So you're the opposite of minimum viable product. It's like,
no.
Get the whole fucking space.
Yeah.
Including. He's just coined a new phrase. Right.
All of a sudden, I can imagine him speaking at Google about it, going down the fucking slide there. You've got your podcast with Dan Lee. What is it called now? You've had gone through about seven names, only one approved by him.
Hang on to your hat. Mm-hmm. It's called Hang On to Your Hat. It's a fatherhood. We did a season of What Now last year, and we ended up talking about the same shit, and that's trying to be fathers, especially being old ones and the harrowing life of the father.
Can you bring up on your phone?
We've branded, and. This season we're taking it a bit more seriously. We've got some incredible guests coming up.
Mm-hmm. It's bloody awesome because you started it with no real sort of direction. You actually got Dan on randomly. He's a mate, but then you just decided, fuck, this actually works. We're a good combo. And then you started.
Yeah.
And now you've developed the branding, the theme. Yeah. It's great. It's minimum viable product is what you did there.
And so
– not minimum viable space. Maximum viable space.
And so this, you were playing this before. We'll play the. So this isn't yet to be finished, is it?
No,
or it is.
No, this is unreleased. This is
so let's play this because you were playing this for us before, and I'm like, can we play it on the show? And you sort of reluctantly said yes. We'll play it through, and then you can explain what it is. This is the new intro.
This is going to be pretty close to what the intro is of our new show. Hang on to your hat.
You're a naughty boy.
These days, fatherhood is everywhere. You can't get away from it. Not that blokes haven't tried. If you're not a father, you've got a father. You're a son of a dad or a daughter of a bloke. But either way, being a dad is no picnic. The fear, the anger, the confusion and, well, the love, of course. Derek Myers and Dan Lee, together with their special guests, are here to share the highs and lows, the joys and the agony of being a modern dad. But most of all, to let you know that you're not alone.
It's very Australiana, isn't
it? I love it.
Dan Lee.
I like that.
There's something about like so fresh about hearing kids, you know, just like little happy kids. It's so nice.
It's got like a very Aussie sound. I feel like we don't have that much Australiana, like in media. Like, I don't think I hear many just fucking Australians talking. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. We did that. I mean, we did the vocals for Dan. I got Dan to just, he wrote that in about a minute.
Yeah.
Well, he's a playwright, isn't he?
He's a playwright, a very good one. Maybe. So he wrote that and said it just to give his wife, who's a musician.
Missy Higgins.
Missy Higgins, who I've covered on our show.
One of the most Australiana, you know, voices.
Yeah, Australian voices.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Using our own accent has always been huge for me. I love it.
Yeah. So is this a new venture for Missy doing podcasting? No. This is very exclusive.
But yeah, so we send him home with this brutal kind of vocal and they just came up with that today and it came in the email. So I think we'll just use it as it is.
That's great. I love it. Yeah. It sounds so good.
I feel like
mandolin, we might be able to roll that through.
Yes, and then just the talking. I just love the energy. It's nice.
And so what's the format of the show?
Right, okay, so we'll be interviewing, having conversations with.
Yeah. Do you actually see that distinction?
Yeah, have you, big time. Dan's always, he's constantly correcting himself and me because I think it's important that we just take the interview word out of our vernacular. Mm. So having conversations, because we want to spill our guts. Because right now, if you interview someone, then you've got to get their information. Then you've got to do your own show, because we're there to spill our own guts, aren't we? Mm. So then we've got to do two parts, which is what we're doing for the first two episodes this season. But we're going to – a conversation means we can, you know, the different kinds of dads, we can lay either questions on them or taunt them.
Yeah, that's great.
If they're just about to have a baby, we can taunt them.
We'll link it up in the podcast description. When we move, because the lease is obviously, it should happen, hopefully. But if it does happen, are you going to come at least visit? How often can we expect you? Because normally we see you about, three times a week?
Definitely.
You're popping in?
I've got a feeling you'll be saying, Derek, can you bring me a giant Reuben across from downstairs?
Absolutely.
Because that is delicious, isn't
it? Do you think you'll get on board? Will you pop down a bit?
Yeah, of course. Okay, I've got my e-bike. Hop and a skip.
Okay, great.
Last time on the show, you told a story about the getting pulled over by the cops.
Oh, did I? Stop spilling your guts, Derek.
It's a Daily Talk Show. Derek, mate, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. Otherwise, have a good Friday and we'll see you Monday.
See you guys.
Bye.